From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, we're going to speak with Aaron Dickens. He is the publisher of RedRaidersSports.com, covering Texas Tech on the Rivals.com network. We mentioned Cliff Kingsbury and his Raiders in passing yesterday. We'll dive into him a little more today, as it is the summer, and this is what we do. Podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford, Craddock Oil locations up and down I-55 and throughout Mississippi. At all of those, get the Speed Pass Plus. Save some money, download the app on your phone. Also, don't have to worry about identity theft. Efficient, cheaper, a lot of different things to help you out there with Speed Pass Plus. No reason to not be using that. Jump inside of the convenience store at the Oxford Exxon, get a daiquiri. As little as $3, as big as 44 ounces, if you so wish. A lot of different flavors. Rain kind of cooled things off this morning, but that probably just means 125% humidity later in the afternoon. So, good time to get cooled off a little with the daiquiri from the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. That simple. Right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. And you get your quote, and you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get phenomenal service after the sale, great Ford product. You, if you're in the car market, if you're in the automotive market, you really owe it to yourself to at least give Corey a call, at least give the process a chance. You might be surprised at just how truthful this advertising is. It works just like that. So give it a chance. 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on any of our podcasts. It's $500 off your already great bottom line. 662-257-1900.
Is Mr. Tate gotten back from Mexico yet?
I don't know. I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't communicated with him.
He had been texting you throughout his trip to give you updates and different things.
No.
No selfie with white hair and a margarita or anything?
No. I've had no communication with Jay since we recorded last week. So I assume that he is well.
I'm sure fans' stomachs are probably a little more settled this summer rather than some other ones. But I'll tell you, we had kind of forgotten what these days were like because of all the NCAA crap, just the stuff going on around this program. We haven't had one of these summers in 2 or 3, 4 years. I mean, it's been a while since it's been like this.
It makes you more nervous than it makes me.
I'm not really nervous. I just sit here because I kind of navigate this ship and look and go, all right, today we are doing this.
Yeah, I say this all the time. You can't make football season be here. And there are people that do the football. We're going to do a little of it today, but it doesn't make it any sooner. It's not Labor Day weekend yet. It's just not. It's not even the middle of the summer. It's still the early portion of the summer.
I don't even want to compare us to this, but I'm just curious because I don't watch. What the crap is Feinbaum talking about right now?
He's force-feeding football.
Is he force-feeding football?
I would guess. Now, I don't listen to it. I don't. I have.
You don't have that simulcast up in your office in the afternoon?
No. I like Paul as a person. I find the
act.
I find the Paul Feinbaum propaganda act to be humorous. Because when he was a columnist in Birmingham and to a degree in Mobile, he was a pretty hard hitter. And now he's swinging a Nerf stick, and he doesn't even swing it. And I mean, it's,
well, see, what he does is he looks at a direct deposit at the end of the month, and he goes, "Hey, that number's pretty good. I'll keep with some Nerf balls."
Oh yeah, no, I'm not criticizing him. I just find it amusing, but I don't.
He has been neutered without teeth at this point.
He's been neutered in that show. I'm shocked people listen to that, honestly. They obviously do, but to listen to the people yell and scream about SEC football in June is just, What are you yelling about? I don't really understand it, but people do.
Minimal news here, but I will give people some updates. The message board has really been really big on this for some reason over the last month or so. Saw D1 Baseball mentioned that the likely rule changes for 2019. There's been a strong push that is going to get passed soon. I don't know if it's in time for this coming year or not, where baseball gets a third full-paid assistant. Right now, the way things are set up, you have a head coach that gets paid, obviously, and then two assistants paid normally. The third assistant's technically a volunteer coach. They get paid through camps and different things other than just straight pay through a salary from the university. They also have very limited recruiting ability, so it would allow more recruiting ability. It would allow teams to not have to decide, okay, do we want a pitching coach specialist? Do we want a recruiting specialist? How are we going to do this? And frankly, it's a move in the right direction, as they do with everything with the NCAA and especially baseball and equivalency sports. They worry more about how it's going to affect Coppin State or Mount St. Mary's than they are just how it affects the main schools that play the sport. So a step in the right direction, while we still have no talk whatsoever about scholarships, because that simply hurts kids, they say. So there's that. They're going to expand replay again. Okay, fine. They're going to put replay in a control center in Birmingham, it looks like, at least conference-wide. I think the NCAA is going to allow the SEC to do that next year. It appears that the SEC just makes up rules themselves, and then the NCAA goes, okay, y'all can try it for a year, and then the next year they adopt it as overall principle.
SEC is the guinea pig.
It appears that that is the case. They're also the loudest spoke on the wheel that gripes about things. So
I don't know why they can't make baseball 18 scholarship or 25 scholarships or whatever.
Because it hurts the kids.
How?
Because you're going to cause other schools to not be able to fund those and fall farther behind. And then if we take away the lottery scholarships, that's just fewer kids that are getting money. So we should allow that, because that's giving more kids opportunities to go to college and play the sport.
So if you gave every program 25 full scholarships, wouldn't that
help all those kids? All those low-level schools couldn't fund them, and they would fall farther behind.
They could fund however many they wanted to fund. Well, then they're not going anywhere anyway. What difference does it make?
Then they might kill the sport. Then we have fewer teams. Fewer athletes play in the sport. You're taking kids out of the game then.
They're not going to kill the sport any more than they kill all the other sports that are played that don't make a damn dime. I mean, I have no problem with girls soccer. In fact, I like soccer. No soccer program's making money. They're all bleeding money.
Yeah, even Florida and North Carolina are losing.
Every program, they're hemorrhaging money. They don't make money.
That's the argument.
I mean, I remember doing this story in Mobile. We did a story.
Well, I mean, but the easier answer in what you're talking about is simply the equivalency. They can't have 18 because you don't have the number of women's sports to equal it out.
Add a rifle program or something.
They have a rifle program.
Add a women's badminton program. I don't know.
Yeah, but now you're spending millions of dollars to start a program simply to.
I know. I'm anti Title IX. I'm a realist.
I don't know what Ole Miss's next sport is, whenever it has a next sport. I have no clue.
Guess they could add swimming and diving at some point.
I wouldn't be stunned to see eventually lacrosse become an SEC sport.
Yeah.
I think that's possible.
But only women's lacrosse.
Well, because you have to balance it out here, of course. I don't see gymnastics. I don't know where they would pull from. But I say that Alabama can't have a ton of gymnastics programs, and they're both really good at it.
Yeah, so, Auburn's good, Alabama's good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. They have a bunch of Super 6 gymnastics banners up in Coleman Coliseum. I've noticed those over the years. It's kind of like the ULM water skiing. They've got like one or two absent years. I'm going, well, what happened? But anyway, those are the things they're doing. It's good.
I need to check and see how we did in water skiing this year.
Okay. It's a good move. I have no problem with that. Just frustrated about the scholarship thing. But they'll probably add a coach at some point. They'll expand some review. And there won't be any message board teeth gnashing in April when a command center in Birmingham screws up a call at all. So
I see, as I do my quick on October.
What did you search?
ULM water skiing.
Okay.
The ULM water ski team won its 28th national championship on October the 27th.
2017?
Yes.
Okay.
They traveled to Bennett's Water Ski and Wakeboard School in Zachary, Louisiana to compete in the 38th National Championship.
Who else is in this bad boy?
Let's see who else was in it. Pull this
I don't, the National Championship's in Zachary? Well, that's not fair.
ULM competed in Division One with ULL.
Oh, good grief.
Alabama.
Really?
Florida Southern.
Where's
Rollins Florida? College. Ohio State, San Diego State, Clemson, Texas A&M, Western Washington, the University of Wisconsin, and Michigan State.
Okay. Why is it in Zachary? That does not seem fair. That gives ULM a very tidal and water advantage.
I don't know. ULM tallied 12,165 points.
Okay, second place.
Louisiana Lafayette was second, 11,930.
Ooh, so kind of close.
Alabama was third, 11,880. Florida Southern was fourth, and Rollins College was fifth.
That's in Florida too. You think they chanted Sunbelt at Alabama as they were winning? ULL and ULM finishing 1-2.
I'm looking at pictures.
You have pictures.
There are some pictures.
Is it all male?
No,
it's co-ed.
It appears to be quite co-ed.
Okay.
They don't have Zoom capability, which right now is regretful. Have some fans on the shores there.
It's a hometown event.
It's the event was hosted by Jay Bennett and his family, longtime supporters of the ULM water ski team.
I feel rigged judges here. I mean, I think this is like some German or Russian judges in the Olympics things.
40-year history. Let's see. They had on the first
this
day.
This is water ski gate. I can feel this coming.
On the first day, they had women's slalom.
All right.
The second day, they had men's slalom. There's only so many things you can do in skiing, I would guess. They had men's tricks. Yeah, trick competition.
I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. Having been in Monroe for a while, I'd like to know what that means.
Is that like where they barefoot ski and do flips?
I'm assuming. Okay. They had the women's jump, I guess, where they do the ramp thingy.
Okay.
Yeah, they do the ramp because I'm seeing some pictures of the ramp. Women's tricks, which in Monroe could mean a lot of things. Men's jumps. That's about it. Yeah, that's the it's a picture of the team.
Okay.
Yeah.
27th national title.
Did I get that 28th.
Right? 28th.
The team includes players from Belarus, Sweden, Australia.
Well, now I'm confused.
The Czech Republic.
Really?
Belarus, Netherlands, and France. That's the women's team. All foreigners.
See, I expected nothing but a bunch of kids from Shreveport.
The men's team, London, Ukraine.
Hold on.
New Zealand, UK, Winter Garden, Florida, Netherlands, and Reddington Beach, Florida.
So it's like tennis. They're like going, like they've got an overseas program where they're just the ones that get the best club skiers from overseas, I guess. They are recruiting international kids for water ski.
We only recruit the best. The head coach is from Belton, Texas. The assistants are from Prague, Czech Republic.
Okay, see, now we're talking. That.
Iroquois, Ontario.
Yeah.
Yep.
I need a story on this. I need like a profile on how this works, the recruiting portion.
And then there's a May 1st, 2018 story that says, ULM Water Ski brings the best to the bayou.
Okay.
And so this was hosted on historic Bayou Desired. Having lived in North Louisiana all of my life and having skied on Bayou Desired, I never knew that I was skiing on a historic bayou. I just thought I was skiing on Bayou Desired.
You were not recruited by ULM for water ski?
I was not. I regret that.
You a good water skier?
I was a good water skier.
Were you really?
I was good. Only problem for me was that without contacts, I'm basically blind.
Yeah.
And so I would have to ski blind, and people in the boat would be making hand signals, and they might as well have been speaking.
Ooh.
Belarusian. I have no idea because I couldn't see them.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
It's that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. The more you learn every single day, Neil McCready, water skier. I'm not going to make you look up any more teams, even though I have a curiosity about water ski. That's what we're talking about today on the show. But nonetheless, we're going to go to Aaron Dickens in a few minutes. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Take care of landscaping, aeration, even build an outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen. They do it all, and they can help you out. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast. Get us some couple deals, couple different specials along the way by doing that. Appreciate all of you that have done it so far. And again, you can find them 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the properties and neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, and he'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com. If you are looking to buy or sell real estate in the Metroplex, the DFW Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren specializes in East Dallas, has a network that extends throughout the Metroplex. If you're looking to buy or sell in Dallas, give her a call. She's consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. Her number, 469-867-1734. Her website, Lauren and Kelly, that's with an EY, .com. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Didn't mention this earlier. Ole Miss picked up an offensive line commit yesterday, Carter Colquitt from Buford, Georgia. Ole Miss had a pretty good bit of success in Georgia recruiting offensive linemen over the years. Story and analysis up at rebelgrove.com from our own Russell Johnson and Chad Simmons, a regional analyst for the network. So Carter Colquitt, NC State, the other finalist for him yesterday. Took a couple visits to Ole Miss recently, commits to the Rebels. Again, read about it at rebelgrove.com. And now we'll go talk to Aaron Dickens of RedRaiderSports.com, a member of the Rivals Network, talk a little Ole Miss and Texas Tech. Aaron, good morning. Thank you for giving us a little bit of time today. We used Cliff Kingsbury a couple times on our front page last fall, coaching search. You know, you hear anybody, any name, you'll throw it up there for a day to see if it sticks, gets a little message board discussion going. But all jokes aside,
he is a handsome man.
He is a very handsome man. He makes our front page look a little better. But all jokes aside, Matt Luke, in really his first year, I'm not counting his interim year against him, this year seems like a very, very critical one for Kingsbury, and especially this Ole Miss game that seems like a bit of a toss-up.
You know, I listened to y'all's podcast on Monday where you compared the opener to Daytona from an Ole Miss perspective, and I think that's pretty much spot on for Texas Tech as well. I mean, you mentioned Kingsbury's job status. It seems like we've been having this discussion for the last 18 months here in Lubbock. You know, you go 6-7 last year. No one's really excited about 6-7. You know, he's announced as returning in the immediate aftermath of the win in Austin to get to 6-6. And all last year, all last offseason, I was saying 6-6 is the absolute worst case scenario. Sure, they could lose more games from that perspective, but it's worst case in that at 6-6, you could make a reasoned, well-argued case for moving on or keeping him. And so, sure enough, they go 6-6, they keep him. And so now we go into another offseason of, you know, how many wins does he need to have? How will this affect recruiting? Who's on the short list? So, while I don't think that that anyone at Tech is looking to move on, I think they genuinely like Cliff Kingsbury. They genuinely want it to work out. They're giving him every chance, every opportunity. Because I think if this was any other school, at this point, he would be gone. I mean, his win-loss record, I think he's 30-33 overall, a pretty terrible Big 12 record up to this point. But folks in the administration, in the department, they all believe in Cliff. They like Cliff, and I think that they want to give him every opportunity to succeed. So, yes, huge critical season. It begins on September 1st in Houston because I think Tech can win six games if they don't win in Houston. I don't think they can win seven or maybe even eight if things break the right way if they don't.
You say that people like him there. He seems like a likable guy. I've never met him. I've watched some of the like videos and stuff, and I've obviously watched his press conferences and things. What is it about him that the people at Texas Tech like so much?
Well, I think there are several angles here. I think, first of all, I mean, he's a very big part historically of this kind of air raid era for this program. It dates back to 2000 when Mike Leach took over for Spike Dykes. I mean, this whole program has kind of been defined by this offense to a lot, to a certain degree. And while the offense has evolved, and I think you'll see even more, especially this season, they kind of lean more toward the run this year than in years past. People have very fond memories of his playing career. That plays into it. I think he's a legitimately nice guy. He's not just super outgoing. He's not like someone that we're both familiar with Tuberville in terms of kind of being a salesman and shaking hands and kissing babies. But one-on-one in small groups, he's a really sharp, nice guy. He treats everybody great in the 5+ years that he's been here as head coach. Never snapped at anybody that I've seen. He's never, because, you know, in post-game press conferences and things like that, in these high-pressure environments, it's natural, I think, for coaches, just like anybody else, to snap when things don't go the right way. You know, maybe say something that they regret later. It's never happened with Cliff. And so I think that even his most, even his harshest critics on, like, our message board, for example, will tell you, and they post this from time to time, legitimately like the guy, wanted to work out. And that hasn't been the case, right? When Tuberville was here, people just genuinely did not like the guy. They could not wait for him to leave. When he left for Cincinnati, it was kind of at first a WTF moment, and then it was basically celebration. You know, when Cliff does move on, if it is a parting of ways at the end of this season, if they don't, you know, do well, I think it'll be a pretty sad day for a lot of Tech fans.
Completely off topic, but I'm just kind of curious. Lubbock, not a big place. I mean, probably some similarities population-wise with Oxford. Can he date and have a personal life in that town without it blowing up into the New York Post?
I mean, he does most of his first, Lubbock is a bit bigger than I think a lot of folks realize. I mean, it's 300,000 people.
Okay,
more or less,
yeah, you're right.
Around Lubbock, and its biggest problem is just where it's located. It's relatively isolated geographically. The Amarillo is a similar-sized city. It's about an hour and a half north. You get Abilene, but for the most part, in terms of the major metropolitan areas, it's a good 4 or 5 hour drive to Dallas, things like that. So in terms of social life, I think that he does a lot of that stuff out of town, Metroplex. He'll take trips. But for the most part, when he's in town, he's a pretty substantial homebody. Like, he'll
really
work, maybe do some Netflix when he gets home, but he keeps things pretty tight.
Neil, you have a thought?
I wanted to make a smart aleck comment, but it's more jealousy than it's more jealousy than anything else. I was going to ask if he had any picks from when he went to the Metroplex, because I'm guessing he does well.
No, there's no question he does.
I'm just guessing that it's all that being Cliff Kingsbury is probably not a bad gig.
Right, and that's when he's 30 and 33. Like imagine if he was like, you know, 60 and 20.
Yeah, it's hard. I can't even fathom what it would be like if he were 60 and 20. So how many does he have to win? I mean, what has to happen? Because there was – I mean, it was crazy. No, I say crazy. You know how coaching searches are. You've been in this long enough to have done them. His name popped up on the Ole Miss search from some people who are fairly good at what they do, and it was more along the lines of, look, I don't think this is real. His agent has some Ole Miss ties. His agent's kind of – throwing his name out there, covering bases. And, you know, I included his name on a hot board because, again, he's a handsome man, and why not?
Sure.
But it's kind of an odd thing. I mean, because he wouldn't have to do a lot. Because all the jokes about his looks aside, his reputation is pretty strong. He wouldn't have to do a lot to become a hot commodity, and yet at the same time, he's a guy that if he rolls a 4-8 in Lubbock, he's out. So he's in a kind of a weird, almost not no man's land, but in a weird place from a career standpoint.
I think he's universally viewed as a brilliant offensive mind. I think that for all the issues that he's had as head coach, Texas Tech, the programs, record, all those things, the offense has been pretty consistent. It's been for the most part, very, very good. Last year was a bit of a disappointing season, but even then, those numbers for, I don't know, 60% of the Power Five would have been viewed as a pretty darn good year. In terms of how many wins he needs, I don't know that there's like a set number, right? Because you can, 6-6 can be a bad 6-6. It can be a good 6-6. If they get some injuries but rally in the second half, then I think 6-6 is maybe viewed as a bit of a victory. If they get off to a hot start, say they beat Ole Miss in Houston, they beat Houston and Lamar, and then split West Virginia and Oklahoma State, they're, 4-1, off to a great start. If they crater down the stretch and finish 6-6, that's viewed as a colossal disappointment. So I don't know that there is a set number. We get that question almost daily on our radio show. I think clearly the further you get away from 6-6, though, the more obvious the answer, right? I mean, if it's 5-7, yeah, probably going to be a change unless there are some substantially large mitigating circumstances. If it's 4-8, you know, sayonara. If it's 7-5, staying, 8-4, I would say healthy contract extension. And so much like, you know, we were at this point last year, I think 6-6 is the worst case scenario because you can make a case either way.
You mentioned a little more run heavy with them this year. They've obviously got a good bit back. And then for Ole Miss, they don't have a lot at linebacker. They were bad there last year. They lost probably their two most – well, they did lose their two most productive ones in the offseason. So, I mean, is this a possibility that given Ole Miss's weaknesses on defense and where they are, that Tech could try to grind this thing out a little bit? Or what does that mean, run heavy, from a Texas Tech standpoint?
Right, certainly not like Navy or
Georgia
Tech. I mean, for Tech, it might be 50-50 would be, oh, why, golly, why are we running so much, guys? Y'all mentioned on the podcast yesterday about how expecting a lot of points in this game in Houston. And I think that, I mean, I don't know that Tech can win a 35-38 kind of game. You know, breaking in a new quarterback, they don't really have much proven at the skill spots. I mean, they got T.J. Vasher, who's about 6'4" on the outside at receiver. He did some nice things last season as kind of a reserve or fourth starter type, but certainly he's not some like bona fide all Big 12 type. At least he hasn't done that yet. They've got a couple of running backs back, but no one from a all-star standpoint, but they do return pretty much everyone on the offensive line. And their defense was a pleasant surprise last year. I think they're expecting that to be better this year. They'll turn all but one starter on that side of the ball. And so I think this is a Tech team that, you know, for an air raid type program is going to be leaning on its defense and, you know, leaning more on the run than it has in years past while it gets that quarterback situation resolved, while it breaks in some new receivers. So we'll see. I don't know that Tech can win a 42-38 kind of game in Houston. I think that if Tech wants to win, it's going to be in the low 30s maybe. But I think they might be carried by their defense for the first couple few games.
Took a break in our talk with Aaron to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They also have a great app, and they're located there in Holly Springs. Give them a call, 662-252-2321. We always tell you about Sildenafil, but really from a family pharmacy needs, anything you could desire, Tyson Drugs will help you out there. They deliver wherever you are, and they're also now in Oxford as well, GNM Pharmacy on South Lamar. And at that location, they deliver local throughout the Oxford area.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, no five-minute wait. Right now, OUB offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With that three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Now back to Aaron Dickens on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. And that's what's interesting about this game is there, and I'm guilty of it because I just buy into the stereotypes of, I watch Ole Miss, and late last season offensively they were very good. A lot of that was because they had Jordan Wilkins in the backfield and they were balanced. I think they were difficult to prepare for. Yet, you know, Ole Miss is one of those really hard teams because there's recency bias. You know what I mean? They beat Mississippi State in the finale. Yet a week earlier, 5 days earlier, that was not an impressive effort in a loss to Texas A&M. And defensively, they weren't good against Mississippi State either, even against a backup quarterback that came in after Nick Fitzgerald broke his ankle and all of that. I guess what I'm getting at is if Ole Miss is kind of one dimensional and really pass happy, you've seen Texas Tech's defense a lot. Does that sort of feed into their strengths? Do they have the ability to kind of get after pass rushers and create turnovers in the secondary?
Their defense was extremely good at forcing turnovers. Last season, they were one of the best in the country in turnovers force. Part of that is luck, too, right? I mean, there's nothing – you can scheme it up all you want. You can have as much talent on the field as you want, but sometimes the other team just puts the ball on the ground. So I don't know how much of that is can be duplicated again. So I don't know if they could be the sixth best defense in that regard. They were much better against the run than the pass last season. The pass rush was probably the biggest weakness. Weak point of that defense. They didn't really add anybody from a recruiting standpoint that can really help there. I think they'll be better to some degree just because of experience and all that stuff. But, you know, they're not going up against too many Greg Littles in the Big 12 last season and still kind of struggled. We'll see how they go in Houston on September 1st. Plus, A.J. Brown is, you know, insane. And so that will be a very stern test. But I think if they had their druthers, Ole Miss would be more of a kind of traditional SEC type balanced offense, run the football. I think they would probably match up better with a team like that.
Yeah, Ole Miss having just nothing at the running back position right now. They're probably going to start a JUCO kid, and I mean, I have no idea what to expect. So if you told me Ole Miss threw the thing 60 times, I probably wouldn't argue with you. Just, you know,
they have to air it out, I think. I mean, I don't put any stock into what you see in the spring or don't see in the spring, but there was nothing that I saw in the spring that made me think, man, they're going to line up and really be able to run the ball down people's throats. I just don't think they have the back to do it. Ole Miss is good up front. It's pretty really good up front. They're experienced. They're very good up front. And Aaron, you can feel free to disagree. I still think so much of running games is about being good up front but having a horse in the backfield who can make things happen.
Right. And Tech doesn't really have that either. They've got a few guys that I think they feel okay about that are solid. They're, you know, they're legitimate Power 5 running backs, but in terms of a workhorse you know, like a DeAndre Washington for a couple years back for the Red Raiders. Yeah, they don't have a guy like that.
Any Big 12 team that's going to disappoint or surprise? Just your normal off-season conference talk?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think Oklahoma is clearly the favorite to win the Big 12, and they should be. But really, behind that, you can make a case for three or four teams. A lot of quarterback uncertainty around the league. Will Greer at West Virginia, former Florida player, kind of viewed as the class of that position going into the season. But Kyler Murray has looked okay so far as a backup. What's he like as a starter? Who's Oklahoma State going to have to replace Mason Rudolph? What's Texas Tech going to end up doing in that position? You go up and down the list, and Kyle Kemp at Iowa State might be the third best quarterback in the league going into the season. So I have no idea how this will play out in the Big 12. It should be very interesting.
What do you think of the Kyler Murray baseball football thing? How do you think that plays out for them? He's the big winner. He gets guaranteed money. You've seen him probably play both sports. Are you surprised he's sticking with the football thing for another year?
No, not really. It's interesting because I'm curious when, because this is now going on like 4 years where Oklahoma's had a starting quarterback that began his career at another program, right? Mayfield started at Texas Tech, transferred to Oklahoma, Murray, A&M, Oklahoma. I'm curious because Oklahoma should not have a problem recruiting talented quarterbacks, much like Texas, and they're still struggling in that department too. So I'm curious because now this is Murray's only year because he's gone for baseball for this season. So I'm curious to kind of see what's next to that position in Norman because they've been really, really good. Playoff trips, Big 12 titles, Heisman trophies. You can't argue with the production. But 4 years is a long time to go between homegrown quarterback starts.
How much is the Mayfield thing and the success he had at OU being the first pick in the draft? Does that hurt Kingsbury in terms of the Texas Tech program? What's kind of how's that thought of there? What ultimately happened with that?
Yeah, I don't think Mayfield's going to win any popularity contests in Lubbock, but that's just the beauty of sports, right? I mean, we all enjoy sports in part because of the great stories and the drama, but also sports hate, right? I mean, Neil, you're a Cubs fan. You hate the Cardinals. I'm an Astros fan. I hate them too. I hate the Utah Jazz. I hate the Titans. I don't really hate those people.
The Cardinals are really hateable right now because of what they've done to the way their fans have treated Dexter Fowler. It's wrong. It's easy to hate them right now.
No, there's no doubt. People around here don't really like the guy. But from how does it reflect on Kingsbury, it probably is viewed differently outside of the Texas Tech, West Texas bubble. But, it's not like they chose some – scrub over Mayfield, right? I mean, Davis Webb ended up being a third-round pick by the Giants. He's Eli Manning's backup. And then Patrick Mahomes, they had committed at the time, 10th overall pick to Kansas City. So, it's certainly from a wins and losses standpoint, from a production standpoint, Baker Mayfield had the much better career from a college standpoint than Davis Webb. That's inarguable. And surely if Cliff could go back in time and do it over again, he'd probably handle it differently. But I don't know that he's not getting beat up over that around here.
Just kind of
and it's not like they ran him off. Like the funny thing is, the what happened was Mayfield started that season as a starter because Michael Brewer, who ended up transferring to Virginia Tech and starting for about a year and a half, he was kind of the heir apparent. He injured himself, I think on a lake, wakeboarding or whatever. And so he wasn't ready for that season. Mayfield started true freshman walk-on, great story. Started out great, started the first four or five games, got dinged up against Kansas and Lawrence. Looked pretty bad at the time. They thought he was done for the season. It turned out he was only done for a few weeks. They insert Davis Webb. They keep rolling. They go to 7-0. They go up to Norman, Oklahoma, top five Oklahoma team, take them down at the wire, and then things kind of fall off from there. When the regular season ended, Mayfield was like, hey, I'm ready to take my job back. start the bowl game. And Kingsbury said, hey, we're going to have a competition and kind of see where things are at between you and Davis Webb. And Mayfield said, I'm good. And he left. So this wasn't a deal where, no, you're not getting a scholarship, or no, you're off a team. Mayfield didn't feel like he wanted to compete for the job, and so he left.
Switching sports, Texas Tech, pretty big baseball game tonight against Arkansas in the College World Series. Tim Tadlock, third College World Series appearance in 5 years, I guess. How is that? What's it been like kind of watching the fan base, and how have they kind of reacted to the baseball success? I mean, I know Larry Hayes had a couple good years, but I don't think they'd been to the tournament in 10 years or so before Tadlock. What's that kind of progression been like the last few years?
You know, for as football crazed as the state of Texas is, storied as the high school football is in West Texas, Friday Night Lights, the whole deal, Lubbock's actually a baseball town. Like the youth baseball scene in Lubbock is nuts. People love baseball here, and they support that baseball program big time. And you're right, things had gotten really lean in the latter tenure of Larry Hayes, and then the Dan Spencer era. Between the Hayes and Tadlock tenures was not very good. This is a baseball-crazed town, and so the success of that baseball program has been huge. The crowd for Tech up there in Omaha is pretty good, and we'll see how they do against Arkansas today. But folks around here love Tim Tadlock, love the baseball program. They're working on some upgrades at the stadium. I'm sure he'll get another contract bump here before too long, and it's growing pretty good.
Was there ever any concern whatsoever he might bolt somewhere, or you think he's pretty stable there?
Well, a couple of years ago, I guess it was last year, when Texas was looking for a new head coach, they sniffed around Tadlock a little bit. I don't know that he was ever like close to accepting it, but it was a little bit more than just kind of hello. But they re-upped his deal, and he, as is typically the case now, made some sort of like Twitter post about, hey, great to be a Red Raider, or whatever it is.
How many people ultimately turned down that Texas baseball job? Give me a real number.
7 or 8, something like that. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I'm not super plugged in there, but it sure did seem like they were pretty far down their list. And I guess this is another example of how kind of imprecise coaching searches are, right? Because Pierce was what, their 8th choice, and they get to Omaha, they win the Big 12. Mike Leach at Texas Tech, he was not their first choice. Rich Rodriguez turned them down. Actually, more specifically, Rich Rodriguez's wife turned Tech down. And so they go down the list, Mike Leach, 10 years, winning his coaching program history, et cetera, et cetera. So I always get a big kick out of following coaching searches because, fans get so invested in, oh, our top guy turned us down, just shut the program down, we're done. And, we have no idea how things will turn out.
What was Rodriguez's wife's issues?
She was not a fan of Lubbock.
Okay. Gotcha.
And to be fair to her, Lubbock 18 years ago was quite a bit different than Lubbock today.
In what way?
Well, it wasn't quite as developed. The area right across campus was referred to as the Tech Ghetto. They've developed that a ton over the last 18 years. It's super nice. A lot of the stuff to the southwest of the city has been built up a lot too. So it is substantially different.
How many people will Tech bring to Houston, and how big of a party culture do they have? What's Friday night and Saturday morning going to be like, in other words? Because I suspect that Ole Miss is going to bring a lot of people, and some of the bars in that area are going to enjoy their presence from an economic standpoint.
Yeah, I think Tech will travel. More alums concentrated in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex than in Houston for Texas Tech, but they usually travel pretty good to that baseball tournament at Minute Maid every couple of years when Tech's invited. So there'll be a lot of Red Raiders there for sure. I think Ole Miss will probably win the pregame partying. I don't think there's any question about that. But Tech will do okay.
Well, hey, man, we really appreciate the time. Talk to you soon. Hopefully I'll see you here soon.
Okay. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks to Aaron for his time this morning. The podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. For your local underwriting, understand your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. So lock in the current rate, but if rates go down when you close, you get that lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Aaron Dickens and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline at Billy's Pecans. Let them take care of your corporate gifting, whether it's for five thank yous or 5,000 gifts. They'll take care of you there at Billy's Pecans. Speaking of the pecans, you got to try the cinnamon spice pecans. They're fantastic. If you want a sweeter, chocolatier pecan, you can do that. Lots of varieties, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier. They have just the toasted pecans, all sorts of goodies, coffee cakes as well. They're at Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com, or you can give them a call, 1-800-624-7404. It won't be long until football season. Speaking of, a week after Ole Miss plays in Houston, they'll come home to play Southern Illinois at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. You want to take care of all of your tailgating needs now. Get it ironed out so that you can enjoy tailgating in the Grove with your friends or in the Circle with your friends. 7 South Tailgating is the way to go. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try them once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service or their attention to detail. It's 7SouthTailgating.com. And speaking of Ole Miss Athletics, Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Also, be sure to call Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service, specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, and experting in you out of lines and onto more rides, no matter the crowd. Shoot a $25 Disney gift card for booking when you mention the podcast. So again, free, no obligation, quote, no harm done whatsoever. To give them a call, see how we can help you. 901-634-8687, Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com. Yeah, football season a good bit away, but you do get the road trip to begin the year. Should be a pretty fun one, honestly. I think the whole weekend, the whole trip should be a good game. I'll be stunned if either team blows out the other one, I think. I don't anticipate that, but, you know. What?
I just don't know what to think.
Well, I don't know what to think either.
Yeah, I generally agree with that. I don't know.
You never know. I mean, if you'd have told me the Cal game last year was 16-10 or whatever the crap it was, I'd go, huh? I mean, you know.
That game started the way I thought it would start.
Yeah, it was score, 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 and then that was it.
That was a weird week.
Cal made an adjustment. Ole Miss didn't really adjust. Patterson kind of lost his mind there for a little while, and there it went.
Well, that was one of those signs about that game got scouted. You pressure Shea Patterson, and it falls apart.
Yeah.
I bet Urban Meyer and Pat Fitzgerald and some others.
Think they're going to watch that game?
I'm guessing they watched that film. My question with Ole Miss is, I just wonder, do they have enough personnel defensively to stop anyone?
That's the key. I mean, I see that the Reds, there's one on our board right now, is, well, they can't be any worse at linebacker. Well, they can. I mean, you can technically get worse.
Not only can they almost certainly will be. Look.
DeMarcus Gates was a really quality SEC linebacker.
I hate doing this because I love the kid. Replacing Taylor Polk is going to be difficult. And he was a walk-on.
The whole 4 years. I wrote a big story about it.
Replacing Taylor Polk is a priority for this team. And there is, from what I saw in the spring, no certain guy to do it.
I mean, you're counting on Vernon Dasher to be great or be serviceable immediately.
They've kind of moved him to the secondary, sort of.
So who's playing that? Well, it's the stinger spot, yeah, or whatever it is. Husky, whatever it is.
It's my one knock when everybody does the Hugh Freeze thing and we get caught up on, massage gate or whatever you want to call it in Florida. My knock on Hugh Freeze is that they didn't recruit defensively. Just didn't recruit them. Didn't get them. Lost those battles. Recruited two big-time offensive tackles.
Recruited wide receivers out of the tail.
Recruited wide receivers. Recruited quarterbacks. Did not recruit elite players on the defensive side of the field. And I've been covering this league for 20 years. And I think you have to be good defensively. And I know that's a no, really, Neil. I think you have to be good defensively. I think you have to have impact players defensively. And I question whether Ole Miss has enough of those.
They get some guys back from injury. Obviously, Victor Evans should be very good if he's healthy.
Should be.
Shepard was banged up a good bit last year at times.
They've got to get those guys. They've got to get a pass rush presence. And they've got to. But you got to stop the run. You got to be able to have linebacker play. It's why this N'Kobe Dean recruitment is so critical. Beyond the perception of what he can do, to me, it's much like the Cam Akers recruitment. You need him because he's an impact player right away. The fact that he's from Mississippi and he brings all the other stuff is gravy.
That's great, but
you need the player.
Yeah.
When the people go, well, Cam Akers wasn't a loss. Yes, he was. Cam Akers would be the focal point of your offense right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't be discussing the things we're discussing with Cam Akers on the field.
Cam Akers would be the focal point of the Ole Miss offense right now. If you put him in that offense right now, along with A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and Jordan Tamu and Greg Little and a very experienced offensive line, you would be talking about an elite offense. But the fact that they don't have a Cam Akers type, at least as of this moment, that is proven, maybe the junior college kid steps in and becomes that. And if he does, then that will be a big story. And stuff like that happens all the time. But if you're counting on that today, June the 19th, you have very thick red and blue glasses on. And so without that, the offense cannot be deemed elite. It's unbalanced as of this moment. I have no doubt that Matt Luke, because of the type of football personality that he has, is going to work diligently to make it balanced. But that's why the Dean recruitment's so big. You have to have that bell cow linebacker that N'Kobe Dean appears to be. He was at Alabama yesterday.
Was he?
I think, yeah. Had Alabama uniform on the field and all that stuff.
We mentioned road trips. Ole Miss headed to Texas Tech to start the season in September. I know with Neil, you can just you take your Blue Delta jeans with you. It will make packing very, very easy. It's the big thing. We've always told you about fit and things for the last month or so. But the big thing for me on Sunday, running a little late, since you're just folding them up, hanging them back up. When you get done wearing them, they're ready to go as soon as you get up and get out the door. So that was kind of a benefit, other than even the fit, was I've got a pair of the stretch denim khakis or slacks or whatever it is. And it was quite handy. Saved me a little time that I did not have on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to change the way I pack. I'll throw a little carry-on together. Throw a couple of shirts, a pair of tennis shoes.
Save some money on the airline, not having to check the big
gear.
Bag.
Yeah, just throw a bag in the overhead.
For the month of June, you mentioned the podcast. If you go by Blue Delta, they're like $100 off. And as we've told you, you spend a lot of money on suits that you wear very few times a year. Spend good money on pants that you will wear plenty more, and you'll want a second pair as soon as you get the first one, or a third or a fourth or fifth if you're Mr. McCready over here. So. Either way, you can check them out. They're in Oxford or online. Let's see. I had something else a minute ago. Now, where is it? I'm not even sure. Drawing a blank. NBA draft's Thursday. Is that right?
NBA draft is on Thursday, for sure.
So, who's Memphis going to take?
A lot of talk about Memphis possibly trading the pick. Memphis being involved possibly with Cleveland in a blockbuster. Memphis wants to get rid of the Chandler Parsons contract. And to find a sucker to take that, they might have to include the fourth pick as incentive.
In basketball, isn't it strictly about impact players? Why would you ever trade down if there's a guy that can help you?
Well, right now in basketball, it's about impact players, but it's also about the salary cap. 2 years ago, when there was no smoothing provision, the summer of Durant, everyone committed all of their money. Teams are strapped. nobody wants to pay. You don't want to pay the tax if you're not a contender. You got to get rid of some salary. Guys like Chandler Parsons got crazy money, and they're trying to move it. Cleveland's trying to come up with a way to keep LeBron James. Everything I read is that there's going to be more activity in the first 10 picks than there's been in a long time. Now, whether that actually comes to fruition or not, I don't know. But apparently around the league, there has been quite a bit of discussion. Charlotte with Kemba Walker trying to get underneath the cap. Memphis with Chandler Parsons trying to get underneath the cap. Teams like Cleveland willing to pay the tax if it means keeping LeBron. There's just a lot going on.
As much of an NBA head as you are, you don't seem that draft obsessed.
Yeah, I'm not really draft obsessed. I mean, the first pick of the draft is going to be Ayton. The second pick of the draft is what gets interesting. Sacramento has it. They're an unpredictable franchise. There's a lot of people who talk about Michael Porter Jr. being a poor man's Kevin Durant, a poor man's LeBron James. Is he healthy? What's his health status? What's going on with him? Those are things that are interesting. Trae Young's a wild card because some people think he's a top four pick. Some people think he'll fall to 13, 14. So there's some, but there's no superstar in this draft. There's nobody that is an immediate walk-in, change the game player in this draft. I think Luka Doncic is the best player in the draft, but he's a 19-year-old European.
But if you had 5-year stock in one, that's the one you
he's
want.
Who I'd put the stock in. But is he ready to help a team right now? Is he ready to walk in today and turn the Grizzlies into the fourth seed in the West? Probably not.
Okay. Just curious. I'm not even really that interested, honestly. If I say I'm kind of interested, but I'm kind of curious if Memphis takes just because they're sort of local, but that's probably.
I'm interested to see whether they use the pick or whether they trade down or whether they trade out. It'll tell you a whole lot about where their vision is. There's even some rumors about Mike Conley Jr. being involved in a trade. Maybe Memphis trading down to
eight. How old is Conley now?
He's in his early 30s. Maybe trading Conley down. How old is Mike Conley? Let's see. At 8, they could take Colin Sexton. Trae Young might be there. I mean, there would be point guards at the 8 spot. My computer is so slow.
Why?
Here we go. I don't know. Mike Conley, he was born in 87, so he's 30. He'll be 31 in October.
Yeah, he's younger than I thought he was then.
But 31 years old as an NBA point guard with a history of injuries is not –
not a spring chicken.
I don't know that you're wanting to invest a whole lot in that. So if they could find someone who would – and he's owed like $30 million next year. I'm sure Memphis would love to – if they could move Mike Conley and trade down to the 8th pick and get Colin Sexton or Trae Young, that's probably something they would think about. Yet I'm sure they would wonder what is Mark Gasol's reaction to that, because that's the beginning of a rebuild.
Aren't they kind of in a rebuild anyway, though?
I think they are in a rebuild, except for the fact that two or three of the key members of that organization don't
see it that way.
Don't see it that way,
or don't have time for that. Frankly,
you know, there's just as we're watching this right now, after the Japan just beat Colombia, and we're watching it still on FS1. You know, Chris Paul trying to get LeBron to go to Houston, yet LeBron might be trying to get Chris Paul to go to Los Angeles. That's the more interesting NBA storyline than the draft.
It's become professional wrestling.
It has. The offseason,
there's soap opera of it.
The offseason is more compelling than the season itself.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's what it's become. So,
but when you have a guy like LeBron who holds all the cards, of course, it's kind of. And it's June, and if you're doing a national talk radio show.
Who told Shannon Sharp those look good?
I don't know.
Those glasses.
But like, if you're doing a national talk show in June and you say to them, hey, I'm not interested in this LeBron thing, well, then what the hell are you talking about? Because the only other choice is World Cup. Or you're beating up the Phil Mickelson thing 2 days later.
And you probably stop that by now.
I mean, it's LeBron. That's when people say, why do people talk about this so much? It's because what alternative do you have?
We are not watching Undisputed, but Undisputed is on the TV in front of us at the moment. See where ESPN's numbers were so bad over the last months?
The Jalen Rose, Mike Greenberg show?
Both of their two new studio shows hitting less than 200,000 viewers.
In other words, they don't even register.
They're not even registering. And Stephen A. Smith, who drives me up the wall, he still gets huge ratings, but he's getting harmed now because the shows on front and behind him are so bad that it's lowering his ratings too because he's not getting those big pulls in from earlier in the day.
You know, when I drove to and from Johnson City, I listened to a lot of ESPN radio in large part because I wanted to just kind of give it a chance. I love Le Batard.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He's good.
It's Jeffrey and I fought about this because Jeffrey hates Stugatz. And I don't really like Stugatz's character, but I get where it fits on that show because it's an act. And it's funny. That show is funny. And then, man, they get out of that and they go straight into like Stephen A. Smith yelling into the I flip. And then the Will Cain. I don't even know who the hell that is. I just don't like it. It's hardcore sports. Hardcore sports here in the afternoon. You've been working all day and now you're in your car and I'm going to break down the sports.
Yeah, they turned Mike and Mike into a worse show. They've got Wingo now.
It's bad. It's that show. They should have moved on from that. It's still a setup show. And then they set up Le Batard, who
isn't going to use the setup. I mean,
he spent 2 days. One day they spent trying to do a campaign for Lewis Brinson to make the All-Star team, which, of course, Lewis Brinson hits under 200. And it was funny. They ended up cold calling men named Murray and trying to talk them into voting for Lewis Brinson. And it was great. I was entertained. And the next day, the World Cup had begun, and what country was it? Morocco. The Moroccan coach, I'll pull him up for you so you can see.
Okay.
Because I literally pulled over on the side of the road to see what the guy looked like.
Uh-huh.
His name, the Moroccan soccer coach, is Hervé Renard. Hervé Renard. And this is Hervé. Can you see?
I can, yeah.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking man. He looks like a model, an actor. And they dedicated the overwhelming majority of a three-hour show to how good-looking Hervé Renard was. They brought in men and women into the program to talk about how good-looking Hervé Renard was. And it was hilarious radio.
Welcome to June. Done well.
But he does that all year. He'll do that in the middle of the heat of the NFL.
I mean, we use that example. We were going somewhere, I mean, in like August, September, and he did an entire show on what's a potato chip and what's not a potato chip. And that was the show that day.
We didn't turn it off.
No, I was in.
It was August because we'd gone to a Dandy Dozen shoot.
Is that what it was?
We were on our way down to Dandy Dozen.
He's discussing what Pringles is, what a cheese puff is.
Is a cheese puff a chip or not a chip? And it was determined that it was a puff.
Yeah, go to the calls, go to the lines, open, here we go.
And the email and the Twitter and all that stuff. And on there, he would read the tweets with, "You're killing me. You're making me flip off the show." No, you're not making you flip off the show. You're tweeting the show. You're literally engaging the show. I mean, I was listening to it going, what does this guy look like? I've never heard of the Moroccan soccer coach. No. How could I? I live in Mississippi. And so I pulled over on the side of the road and looked at it and went, he is a really handsome man. I'll be damned.
Is he better looking than Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, he's older than Kingsbury, so he has that distinguished.
That older Robert Redford kind of look.
Yeah, and he wears his shirt. He has a white long sleeve shirt. It's too tight.
Uh-huh.
But I would guess he's in his 50s. Let's see. He's 49. See, this makes me feel pathetic. He's a year older than me.
And he looks better than you.
Oh, my God. He looks a gazillion times better than me. I mean, the guy's sexy. No one would look at me and go, he is sexy. No one. No one. It's not possible.
Oh, you know all those people in Hot Works going, hey, McCready over there.
No, you know what's funny? Cause
sweating profusely.
I'll go into Hot Works, and I will only work out if I'm by myself because otherwise.
So you'll leave?
Yeah. Oh, I'll change my
workout. No shit.
No, absolutely. Sorry. Absolutely. Because the girls in there don't want to be in there with me. They don't want to be in one of those.
But they're, not, but they're not looking at you anyway. So yeah, what difference does it make?
Because they think the only way I will do that is if I'm in the thing first and one of them come in. It's like, okay, well, you chose this. But if they're in there, I won't go in even if there's room. Because
do you think
I know,
you're creepy?
Well, I know they'll think I'm creepy, and I'm not creepy.
No, you go out of your way to not be creepy.
I'm the antithesis of creepy. I know.
It's almost creepy how far out of your way you go not to be creepy.
I know beyond a shadow of any doubt, 1,000%, that no 20-year-old girl looks at me and thinks anything other than, oh, my God, my day is ruined.
Well, that's probably a strange.
Well, if he's going to come in here, oh, my God, he's coming in here to look at me do these poses.
You really think so?
Absolutely. And so I won't do it. I will not do it. No chance.
So what will you do?
Go home, go for a run.
So you have your mat in hand, in, done, everything's good, and then go, no, I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
Absolutely. Without even hesitation, without even feeling bad about it.
But if you did it every day, wouldn't they realize that you're just there being an old man sweating?
I don't know. I think they'd think you were being an old man creeping.
Really?
Yeah.
It's more of a picture on today's society than anything else. But
probably, because there's a lot of old men that are creeping.
Yeah.
In Oxford and everywhere else.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, if you go to the gym and get on a treadmill, you're not going to look who's beside you on the treadmill.
No, but if you're in a gym on a treadmill, you're pointed forward.
Yeah. Not and pointed at them.
Yeah, you're not in a position where, you know, and in a yoga Pilates kind of thing, they're wearing yoga pants and stuff. There are guys that go into there. You see college guys that go in there to do it, and they kind of forgive them a little because God bless them, they don't know any better. They're in there to check out the girls in the yoga pants. I'm those girls are young enough to be my daughter. I'm number one, I'm not interested. Number two, I know they're not interested. Number three, there's it doesn't matter. So I'm not going to creep them out. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Okay.
Unless I'm in there first. If they come in, then it like
okay
I said,
okay here's my last one.
All right.
On this, what is the age where this becomes appropriate to leave because of the disconnect?
Mid-30s and up.
Okay.
For me.
So I should leave. I'm bordering on leave.
You're on the borderline.
Okay. Now, I look about 23.
When
but
you walk in, they actually probably think you're there to work out. If I walk in, I'm older than you, and I look older than you, and I walk in, they think he's here just to check out college girls and yoga.
Yeah, he's not really into hot works of all
things. He's not into Pilates. He wants to look at college girls in tight clothing.
Okay.
Because, frankly, there are enough men that are in there looking at college girls in tight clothing.
Tweet at us. Tell us what you think. I'll be curious to see if this is socially acceptable, if this is widespread, where we are with this topic. So.
This is now depressing, though, because I had, in my mind, told myself that Hervé Renard was probably like Silver Foxish in his 50s, you know?
Nah.
And he's not. Hervé Renard was born in September of 1968, so he's a year and 3 months older than me.
He's coaching soccer, though, in this button-down that's too tight, dress shirt, not a button-down, a dress shirt that's too tight, slacks that are, frankly, a little tight as well, and then probably $8,000 shoes. He's doing this on purpose.
But if you looked like him, wouldn't you dress nicely?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with it. I'm just saying.
I mean, look at the guy. I mean, he's and he takes the photo. It just, I mean, that's really not fair.
He did well in the gene pool.
He really did. When he lined up to get looks, he stayed in the line.
Yeah.
They spent some extra time on him. Yeah, he looks, in one way, he looks older than I do. Than I look. And in other ways.
No, he looks older, but it just brings out his good-lookingness even more by the fact that he looks older.
Yeah, I mean, I bet in his 30s he was a stunningly good-looking man.
Yeah, before some of the wrinkles came in. And
but he's, as they said, he's got that perfect tan where he looks like he was just kissed by the sun, you know? I couldn't pull that off. Like if I, and I'm roughly his age, tried to wear this tight white shirt,
we'd make fun of you more than we did with the cowboy shirt. And we should.
I donated it to Goodwill yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
No, whoa, hold on. Really?
I did.
Why?
Because I cleaned out my closet and that shirt.
Why'd
I'm never going to wear it because I was shamed after I wore it. And so I donated it to Goodwill.
Toby Keith's going to be pissed.
He will. Can you imagine if I tried to wear that shirt?
Well, that particular shirt would not button on you, Mr. McCready.
Well, no, but even that style of shirt, if it were cut big
slim
enough.
Slim fit dress shirt.
It just.
Kind of thin where you see a little skin under it.
Yeah. Oh, he's got his pecs and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's.
He buttoned it up with full confidence that morning. No issues.
No issues at all. He knew. He walks off the field knowing his team lost,
but
and he's winning.
Lose. Yeah.
He's winning.
Think he's got groupies?
Who do you think gets more groupies? Seriously.
Uh-huh.
The Moroccan players or Hervé Renard? I'm going with Hervé.
If he wants them, yeah, no doubt.
I wonder if, is Hervé Renard married? Not that it matters. I'm just curious. And, you know, Morocco would not be a terrible place to live if you were. Why can't they just answer this? Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're going to learn a little bit about Hervé Renard right here. This is reading from The Sun in London. He does have a certain Jaime Lannister look to him from Game of Thrones. He's 49, as we mentioned. He's married to Vivian D.A., who is the widow of Bruno Metsu, the former coach of Senegal.
Okay.
So he is married.
There you go. He used to be the manager of Angola until 2010.
Let's see what Vivian looks like. I have very high expectations. Don't you think?
Sure.
You're not anywhere near as interested in this as I am. She's attractive. Not what I would have imagined.
Okay. So he's not completely superficial is what you're saying?
Apparently not.
Okay.
This is Hervé shirtless. Yeah. He's genetically blessed in ways that
yes.
I'm not. So good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him running on the beach. His hair's all messed up.
It looks like a photo shoot.
His hair's completely messed up, and yet he looks like he's has a perfect little smile. What a jerk.
Yeah.
So we open with Cliff Kingsbury.
We're closing with
Hervé Renard, yeah. And I'm not feeling good about myself.
And Aaron Dickens somewhere in the middle. So that's where we are. All right. Jeffrey, later in the week, one day. I don't know. We'll figure out our schedule, but appreciate Aaron for his time today. We'll talk to you soon.